You're inside my Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa.
Superstorm Sandy has wreaked untold havoc, and the time is now to rescue, recover, and rebuild.
Ty Pennington checks in to talk about what he's seen on the ground, the efforts being made, and about his other rebuilding effort, Extreme Makeover Home Edition's holiday episodes.
The water and wind have receded. The tide of human compassion is rising right now.
On my Fix It Up Life. Rebuilding Together believes that everyone deserves to live in a safe and healthy home. For nearly 25 years, Rebuilding Together has provided critical home repairs for low-income homeowners in need. With support from volunteers and skilled professionals, Rebuilding Together affiliates complete 10,000 rebuild projects every year, working to revitalize and stabilize vulnerable neighborhoods and communities across the country. Join Rebuilding Together and rebuild in your community. Find out how you can make a difference and get involved at rebuildingtogether.org. And you are inside my Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my wife, Teresa. And we are recovering from Superstorm Sandy.
We are. We don't really have very much of a recover process to go through. And what we went through here outside of Philadelphia wasn't at all in comparison to what people are facing in New York City and on the coast in New Jersey. We were without power for 5 days.
And it was cold.
And it was cold, and the kids never complained. So we are very, very lucky about that. And we were able to spend some extra time together and to do different kinds of things that we don't normally do during the week with our kids, like have campfires outside. And they actually made this Lightning McQueen box. They used a cardboard box that we had gotten something delivered in, and they decorated it and made a Lightning McQueen. And that's something that they've done before with other cardboard boxes, but they don't usually get to do that during the day, during the week.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds you, too, that like 100 years ago when the lights went out, it was dark. That was kind of it for your day. So you had to find really innovative ways with simple things to do stuff.
So that was really a good reminder, and I think that it was kind of good for the kids, too, to experience something like that, to understand what it's like for all the people around the country who don't have heat and what it was like before we had electricity. I mean, we live in a town where there are street lights, and we live right a block from a main street, and for the whole thing to be dark and the schools to be closed, and it was just kind of a different experience. I mean, we think about it and we try to understand, but you just don't ever understand until you're actually going through a little bit of it. And so many people are still without power and have so many needs still.
Yeah, and there is an organization among the many, many organizations like the Red Cross and Rebuilding Together, but this organization called Shelterbox USA has a really innovative take on disaster relief, and they do this all over the world. And right now they have people on the ground in New York and New Jersey assessing what's needed in more of a long-term recovery standpoint. But their main focus is this item that they create called a shelter box. And essentially what it is it's a plastic kind of toolbox that closes and shuts tight. It's designed that two people can carry it over a long distance. But what's in it are mosquito nets, not needed now, but might be needed if this were warm weather, waterproof ground mats, children's activity pack, the durable plastic box, collapsible water containers, and water purifying equipment. And here's what's really cool, a custom-designed 10-person tent, thermal fleece blankets, stove and cooking equipment, and a toolkit.
That's so amazing.
Everybody in New Jersey who couldn't get off the Barrier Islands, out on Staten Island, on the edge of New York City, they need that stuff.
They do. And it's wonderful that Shelterbox is going out and helping so many people and helping people here. And I was seeing on Facebook that they're in different places around the world right now, too, helping so many people.
Oh, it's a wonderful organization.
The other thing, too, that I've really loved hearing about is what Sesame Street has done. When they heard about the hurricane coming, they have a hurricane kit on their website. And you can go to sesamestreet.org. And look for it. It's, you know, tips on how to explain a hurricane or a natural disaster to your children, what to do, how to keep them busy. you know, one tip that they have is to try to remain calm so that, because your children will take cues from how you feel, and to try to answer questions as honestly and as simply as possible, and to make sure that they know that what happened isn't their fault and that you love them and will take care of them. Because that's, I think, one of the things that kids are most afraid of is, did I do something wrong?
Children embody that.
Yes, they do.
That's true. Whether it's not even close to their fault, no adult would ever blame a storm on themselves. Children actually do that for whatever reason.
They just don't understand. And I was really super excited to find out that they created a whole special episode called Sesame Street Gets Through a Storm. And you can check it out on their website at sesamestreet.org. And what happens is a hurricane sweeps through Sesame Street, and then everyone works together to clean up the neighborhood, and Big Bird finds out that his nest has been destroyed. So everybody pitches in to rebuild Big Bird's nest, and Big Bird has to goes through all of the emotions that he's sad and he's angry and confused, and his friends help him out to find places where he can eat and sleep and do things. And I just think it's really super special. And the other thing that I thought was really neat is that even after his nest was repaired, that it had to be inspected by the city, and Big Bird couldn't go back into his nest yet because the mud wasn't dry yet. So what happened? You have to watch the episode to find out what happens next.
Well, my main question for the episode is Oscar the Grouch. His life's already a storm. What does he care? Does he help? You know, it's chaos
inside.
You're going
to have to watch the episode Sesame Street Gets Through a Storm to find out all the details and what everybody else does and on Sesame Street to try to get through this hurricane. And I think we need to go to break.
We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
Back inside My Fix It Up Life with my wife Teresa, her husband Mark, and we are on the road to recovery.
We are on the road to recovery, and we have been driving around with various things that we have to do in our lives around here. And just a couple days after Sandy came through, we were on an errand going somewhere, and I have never seen so many. What kind of truck was that?
You know, there's a technical term for it, but it's a tree truck, the kind with a snorkel on the top or a cherry picker, and it's a dump truck body where the chipper shoots the wood chips right into the back of it. Ashplund is a national organization. You know, the Clouser Tree Service around here has them. They're tree trucks.
And there was at least 20 of them all in a row driving on the highway. And part of me was grateful, thankful, inspired, and part of me was just so sad for why they were here and why they had to be out there. And we still didn't have power that day still, and it was just really still very close to our hearts about what was going on, what is still going on. And, you know, there are a lot of organizations out there that are looking for donations. And the Red Cross always wants you to text to donate $10 to help, because when you send them things, they have to spend a lot of time cleaning them and organizing them, and it takes away from what they do best. And they've got it all streamlined in how they help places recover. But there are other organizations out there that have just sprung up to help. And one of them I thought was a really cool thing was called Socks for Sandy. And it was created out of this community of bloggers in the home space. And there's like 47 of them that had got together and just got the word out about Socks for Sandy, because it's one of those fundamental things that people really needed.
Yeah, Socks for Sandy was inspired by someone who lives on the New Jersey coast and contributes her editorial, along with all these other bloggers, to hometalk.com. That's kind of the internet community where they hang out. And she was watching news stories, and she saw the thing that stuck with her most is that it's 40, 50 degrees, it's soaking wet, and people are out of socks.
Yeah, and it's a really cool mission. And the good thing is that they had a goal of the number of socks they wanted to collect, and they've been able to reach that goal. But there are other organizations too. One, Project Rebuild and Recover, is an organization, rebuildrecover.org, that sprang up right after Sandy hit. And it just so happened that one of the only places in this town in New Jersey,
Red Bank, New Jersey,
that was still had power was a DJ place.
Yeah, studio.
A studio. So all the people got together and tried to figure out how they can help and get supplies to who people need it. And so Rebuild Recover came out of that, all of those people coming together. You go to rebuildrecover.org, and they say they need desperately lots of supplies.
Yeah,
so
and
if
this,
you have
this
things,
list is worth reading too.
It is worth reading, but if you have any of these things, you want to be able to contact them, rebuildrecover@gmail.com, or go on Facebook or go to rebuildrecover.org. And Mark's going to read the list.
Laundry detergent, cleaning supplies, razors, work gloves, face masks, brooms, shovels, rakes, non-perishables, and then can openers to open them, shaving cream, dish soap, baby wipes, diapers, medicines, children's Tylenol, sanitizers.
And they don't want to receive any used clothing, because that can be a little troublesome, because you never know if it's washed or what great shape it is. But they will accept new socks, new underwear, and new thermals too. And you know, since it's such a locally grown organization, 100% is given to the people that are in need. So if you give them your supplies, they get those to the right people who need them. And what's really super cool about it, because it's sort of a musician-based place, is that they are connected with all of these musicians, and they have come out to support and actually taped some PSAs for Rebuild Recover. And, you know, Mick Fleetwood is one of them.
The Avett Brothers, Passion Pit, the Gaslight Anthem, and Cole Atkins has helped Rebuild Recover with PSAs and other kinds of assistance. So that's really cool.
It is really super cool. And it's exciting to see, you know, I've never lived so close to a place that's been so devastated. And Mark and I have gone out. We went out to Joplin last year and helped with the people who lost so much in that tornado. But I've never lived so close to such a tragic situation as this. And being able to see, you know, just the trucks on the highway going in the direction of where it's all happening, and having friends who are packing up things to send off to friends who live in New Jersey and in New York.
Yeah, in fact, Tim Williams, our musician, worked with one of the places that he plays, a place called Bourbon Blue in Manayunk, Pennsylvania, on a project called Stuff the Truck.
And they were stuffing the truck to send it off to Project Rebuild, Rebuild Recover. So, and that was going on for like a week. They were stuffing the truck. So, you know, and one of our neighbors gathered up all kinds of things from friends just to try to box them up to send them off to a friend that she has in New York.
In New York, that was a firefighter.
And it's just really exciting to hear about all of those stories, because those are the things that I've never really encountered, all of the really personal, homegrown community stories. Because you hear about people who are famous making a difference in large organizations like the Red Cross. But, you know, knowing that there's so many people who care so much and
that are willing to give a sweatshirt, a bag of baby wipes, some children's Tylenol, all kinds of stuff. But unfortunately, we have to take a break. We're going to do that now. We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
Just meet me in the parking lot. I'll be there around 9 o'clock. Timing couldn't have been much better.
Looking looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? DaVinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic DaVinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, DaVinci Roofs are fire-resistant and withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn more about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624 today.
And you're inside my Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
And the road noises you hear in the background are the tires of Ty Pennington's car slapping down the highway somewhere.
That's right. I'm always moving. Those are the wheels of change moving.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, I didn't know. I just thought they were like Uniroyals or something.
You're bringing about the wheels of change across our country. I love that. I feel so comforted by that.
But before we get to where you have been in the storm-affected areas of Sandy out in New Jersey, where are you now?
I'm actually in Florida, just north of Orlando. I've got a couple projects I'm working on, and I'm also seeing some friends that live nearby. So I'm sort of like killing a few birds with one stone.
Wow, friends.
Yeah, you have time for that now.
Well, sort of, yeah. I mean, I don't ever seem to really have time to do nothing. I'm just always doing different things.
Well,
so,
that's right. But
yeah, I mean, I've got all kinds of cool things going on. Lots of building related, but... But yeah, I've just been in New York where I couldn't even get back into because there wasn't really my place was wrecked too, but like I went down to New Jersey through Philly to check out, you know, what I could do, to help out the Sandy victims. And, you know, it was really amazing too. It's like I've been lucky to be a partner with Sears forever. And like, as soon as I saw that happen, I called them. And the next thing you know, they rallied and like, They got in contact with the Kmart that's in Toms River, which is right there where they were heavily affected. And, you know, we loaded up a truck full of water and blankets and batteries and supplies. And it was great to be able to just be able to take what was really needed. But during that time, we also not only really got to see what was going on in this, you know, we tried to get over on the barrier islands there, and they had shut it all down. Like, it was inhabited. Nobody's living there. So we went to the local high school where they set up a shelter. And just seeing like that, I mean, the heart-wrenching stories of people that lost everything, man. It was rough. And then we also met some firefighters that also lost, you know, everything they had. And they took us over and saw some of the damage. And I met this one couple that were standing in front of their house that just, like, I mean, a wall of water just took it out. And, like, I don't know. It was really rough. Like, I've been to some really tough places. I've been to Biloxi. I've been to, you know, New Orleans afterwards. But to be there, like, literally, like, a day or two after it happened and still seeing, like, it was really eye-opening. But it's going to take a while before, you know, the rebuilding can start. But it's like, wow, talk about a need.
And that is amazing to be able to be there just a few days afterward, because I imagine, like, we were at Joplin last year and seeing a place like that months after that, there's been a lot of cleanup and there's been a lot of good people helping and working, but just to see really what's going on really in the time of when it's happened.
And seeing the raw emotion of, like, what, I mean, these guys, like, literally had put, like, this one couple... Well, I also met this couple in their 90s who had no idea what to do, and thank God there were people there that could, you know, bring them into the shelter. I mean, that's when you realize, oh, my God, you know, think about your other relatives and what would happen if that would happen, like, your family members, and you didn't know what to do for them. But so then there's another couple that they went to go see the damage that had been done to the house, and they had their dad with them that had built the house in the 60s, and he turned around and started crying. He didn't want to see what it had become. He wanted to remember what it was. And then that's, you know, just the devastation everywhere you saw. But what was really crazy is, like, seeing all the different boats that were, like, just, like, up against these houses, and then, like, this one couple, like, their kids' toys were spread everywhere throughout, like, a whole cul-de-sac. And then I think the really eye-opening thing, too, is realizing that houses that had been built in the last 10 years that had, you know, a second story and all that were still standing. But the ones that were older than that, like, were just completely done. And it's weird. It's hard to believe people bought homes right on the water, not expecting the tide to ever come up. And I was like going, wow. So it sort of really opened your eyes about how homes should be built, especially on any coast.
Oh, yeah. Having been to New Orleans after Katrina, and I grew up on Cape Cod, so water is a big part of my life. If you're building on the coast and you're not 12 feet above sea level on pilings, I'm not sure what your plan is. And
unless you're in an ark. Yeah, it's true.
And this is a good time to announce your new project, Ty Pennington's Ark.
Yes. Seriously, though, man, like, down there, my Lord, like, that's what's crazy is, like, when it deals with water, like, the only thing that survives are the things that float. You know, that's what's amazing is, like, you know, wow, it's just wild to see what you saw, like, these incredible boats that are just, you know, from like a mile away that are, like, you know, just washed all the way down. It's just crazy.
Now, when you were trying to navigate down there, even with these firefighters taking you around and stuff, were like just street after street blocked by, I don't know, trees, telephone poles, boats, cars? Like, did you have to like circle around and around and around to get to places?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, literally, you know, the police, the law enforcement had blocked down any roads that led. You know, they basically turned it into a funnel so that if you were going to go in that direction, you had to go through where they were directing you. And eventually, you know, you really had to sort of know a fireman or a policeman to get to that, you know.
Get to anywhere.
To be able to get over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, but it was wild, too, because, like, you know, then you went to the firehouse and you saw all these firemen that had been up for, like you got to remember, too, they've been going nonstop for 7 days because they started preparing, like, basically Sunday or because they knew the storm was coming Monday, you know, but they just knew that something was going to happen. You know, the fire department definitely knew something was going to happen, but what was interesting is once it did it, like, nobody ever got a break. It just kept coming, like, you know, had to rescue this, save that, and the guys just never got a break. And then, like, you realize why those guys, you know, they don't just fight fires. You know, next thing you know, they're delivering water to areas where people, they just put it out on the corner so that people know that the supplies are coming, that they can, you know, if they're stuck somewhere. And then they're also bringing in, you know, generators to give power whenever needed. But the fact that there's so many people, like, especially the ones on Staten Island, too, who just barely got power now, I mean, like, it just opens your eyes to, like, natural disasters and how we all need to really sort of, like, have a little bit better understanding of what we need to have in our garage in case something like this happens again.
That is really such an important point. And we learned that, too, because, I mean, we were without power here outside of Philadelphia for 5 days, and it was cold. But we didn't go through what everybody else experienced on the coast and in New York City. But just getting a little piece of that, I mean, we don't have a generator at our house. We probably should.
No.
Yeah.
We don't, although we could hook me up to a treadmill. maybe get a light going.
Better you than me. Or maybe bottle up our 4-year-old's energy and be able to power it off of that.
Oh, if he could light a grid, whatever that is. But,
oh, my God, that's actually a thought I had. That's a thought I had. We did a build for Extreme where we sort of gave these guys they said the homeless, and so we gave them a whole new kitchen where they could do it in, but we also gave them a little play area for people's kids, and their own kids, and I was trying to figure out a way that they could use kinetic energy to power the house on the playground. How awesome would that be if you could create, like, a playground where if you got the kids to play, they would generate energy that would actually go back to the grid of your house?
Yes.
To keep the lights on, like, kids. Seriously, we need you to go outside, get on the seesaw. Yeah, you know, we need some lights.
Just keep swinging on that swing. Just keep going. Yeah, that would be awesome.
And that is, you know, actually, I just checked with a doctor, and you're technically crazy.
That's pretty good.
In a good way. It's like benign superhero crazy, but it's good.
Well, speaking of Extreme Makeover, the four episodes that are coming up for the holidays, we're pretty excited. I think everyone's pretty excited to see them.
To have you back in their living room.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah, I'm excited. And loud as ever, hopefully. No, I am too. I think it's great too because it's about the holidays. And the one thing I think our show is really good at, and it is about sort of family. And I've heard from so many people that it is a show that they watch, you know, with every member of their family, and that's, they really look forward to it. So I'm really excited too that it's airing again. And you know, I mean, those guys are my family, you know, and it's interesting, but it's just such an awesome thing. And I'm busy trying to figure out ways to create something very similar to that, because it's just, it's really kind of a crazy thing when it's a TV show, because the positive things that happen, you know, with that go well beyond TV ratings. You know, it's like what you do to impact the community, showcasing people who do amazing things, and then seeing, you know, hundreds, sometimes thousands of people come together to do something phenomenal that benefits not only one family, an entire community. It's like, it's great that it's a TV show, but more importantly, it has a bigger impact than that. And so I really, like, I'm so glad they're coming back on, because you really want that. Just to be able to go around the country and see other projects that are started because we inspire people to volunteer, to get together, team up, and do something in their community that really makes a difference for someone or for more than one person. And I think, you know, to know that we can sort of snowball that and sort of be the lead inspiration, really, you know, it's a good thing to be part of. That's all I can say.
And it really is so inspiring, too, because, you know, we were able to go to a handful of Extreme Makeover projects. And it's, you know, the story of the family that you help, but it's every single volunteer that steps foot onto that job site and to help. Every single person has their own personal story that is just so amazing, why they've decided to give up a week of work and to come out and to travel how far they came to come and help somebody that they don't know. It's just so, it's so inspiring, and I'm glad that it's airing around the holidays, because maybe it'll help everybody sort of, you know, help with, you know, soup kitchens and giving, you know, gifts for kids who are needy and the whole thing, you know, during the holidays.
Yeah, that's what really blew me away, is when I would meet people that, like, they would come out and want to volunteer for 3 hours, and then they'd end up staying 3 days. And you're like, wow, you guys are still here? You know, and, like, that's when you know what you're doing is really phenomenal, when, you know, people, and then the ones that helped before come back. Like, I don't know if you guys met the painters that were in Joplin, but, you know, we met them up in, like, up in the Northwest. It was, like, in Washington State or something, they've come to like 6 different builds. That's what I love about it. It's sort of like unsung heroes that never make it on camera, but these guys are like incredible because they volunteer their time. They don't sleep for 3 to 4 days, do incredible things to make sure that somebody has something, you know, really sort of turns a page in their life. But it's not just a couple of people. It's hundreds of people that really do exactly what you just said, which is like put their families, their life, their jobs on hold and really focus on someone else for that week. But what's amazing is how that week of them giving changes them in a very positive way as well.
Well, I'm pretty excited, because I'm sure that there's something next up your sleeve, because I don't think that America can look at you and not think about trying to give back and to help somebody. I mean, there's such a connection between you and helping people that just inspires so many people.
Whenever I start doing that, I'll be sure to let you guys know. And you guys do your best and let everybody know. So yeah, our show's coming on, as you know, Monday after Dancing in the Stars at 10 o'clock at night. On the season finale, Dancing with the Stars. And so then I think we'll be on like every week during the holidays after that. So
Perfect. That'll
be fun.
All right.
Good catching up, Ty.
We'll
drive safely.
We'll say goodbye.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye now.
See you.
impact. And there are just so many ways that you can help and get involved. You know, Lady Gaga gave $1 million to the Red Cross, and there's so many things that you can give. You can also text Bill to 85944 to donate $10 to rebuildingtogether.org to help with their rebuilding efforts too. So check us out on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and don't forget to tune in next week for more My Fix It Up Life.
Into my fix it up life.